Good morning, everyone. So good to be on the call with you today.
Good morning, everyone. This is Gary. I'm glad to be with you.
So we're looking forward to talking to you about engaging your creativity and cultivating your curiosity today. So we're going to, I just want to say, we're going to be giving you the most effective multi-purpose tip you can imagine today. It's simple to apply and easy to remember tip that will, number one, engage your creativity, number two, cultivate your curiosity, and number three, it'll boost your effectiveness in creating authentic power.
So you can see this is a different call because we don't usually give you tips.
But we're excited to do that this morning. So first, I want to talk about engaging your creativity. This tip will supercharge your creativity, your latent creative capabilities that go unused moment by moment each day will be harnessed in the service of contributing the most exciting combination of intention and creativity it is possible to bring to bear on the events of your life. Not bad, huh? Second tip, cultivate your curiosity. That's what we're going to talk about now. Curiosity is a sign of aliveness. It is the opposite of boredom, complacency, and lack of interest in your life. When you activate your curiosity, you supercharge your connection to others in the world. Curiosity is the bedrock upon which all forward movement and knowledge and even wisdom is built. Without it, you sink into lethargy and morose. Also, you become unconscious. You're doing and busy. So curiosity and melancholy are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. Once you know how to cultivate your curiosity, you will know how to dissipate your depression. And this is no small achievement. And the third part, boost your effectiveness. This tip will boost your effectiveness in creating authentic power. All three benefits of this tip are tied into knowing how to create authentic power, how it's created, and also creating it. Therefore, we'll begin with some reminders. You know that authentic power is the alignment of the personality with the soul. You know that you create authentic power when you choose to act from a loving part of your personality when a frightened part of your personality is active. For example, you choose to act with patience while a part of your personality that is angry is active. This situation is relatively easy to recognize because anger often calls attention to itself. However, many people are so frequently in the control of frightened parts of the personality that its experiences appear to be normal. Even when they recognize it, anger doesn't really seem to be a problem for them. Even when they intellectually understand that anger causes problems for them, for instance, and especially destructive karma, anger continues to appear natural from the perspective of the part of the personality that is angry. The same thing can happen with any familiar frightened part of the personality. Overwhelm or sadness can become so familiar that they appear normal because the parts of the personality that experience them are so frequently active. You know what I'm talking about. In fact, sadness can become very, very seductive. It can become an identity or a secret place to hide from the world. Even overwhelm can become so commonplace that life in the fast lane becomes the norm. This can even create unease when life slows down because time then becomes available for the very things that overwhelm masks. Things that parts of your personality fear to confront, such as speaking or living with integrity with in-laws, family members, coworkers, etc. And beloved, I'd love to hear some things you have to say about these three tips, or the tips that we're saying will help you create creativity, more creativity, and curiosity.
We're always looking at ways to present authentic power, why it's important, how to create it, and how to use it from different perspectives. You should know by now what it is and how to create it and why it's important. But coming to the realization that it's helpful for you is another step in the process, really helpful for you. Coming to the realization that you need to create it, in order to become fulfilled in your life is yet another step in the process. And coming to the realization that it's now necessary for your evolution, that is another step in the process too. So you're somewhere on that spectrum. Maybe you're thinking this is something that you've read about, or you heard me on Oprah, so now you're coming to the life school, or you're a part of the master class, or you may feel that you've experimented with this and you know that it's helpful, or that you sense that it can be and you want to know how more specifically. Or you may be coming to a place in your life where you realize that our entire world is changing. It is changing. It's almost incomprehensible. Talk about a massive change in 7 billion people over just a few, 3 or maybe 4 human generations. Very slow to watch, and yet from an evolutionary perspective, it's happening with blinding speed. We're in that right now. Our world is changing, changing fast, and you can see it around you. You can see it as women step into new roles. You can see it as men step into new roles. You can see it as old ways of interacting don't work anymore. You can see it on personal levels and interpersonal levels, and you can see it on local and national and international levels. You can see it as our world becomes more and more dysfunctional. This is all part of a change which you are participating more and more consciously, and which over the next several generations, everyone in our species will be aware, will be multi-sensory. And the creation of authentic power is a part of that. So you can experiment with it. You can see for yourself if it works for you, but you'll find eventually that you'll need to return to creating authentic power however you conceive it, because you alone are responsible for what you create. And you're creating continually with your choices of intentions, and you're creating choices of intentions with every interaction. In other words, from the perspective of the part of the personality that is controlled by fear and pursuing external power. In other words, experiencing anger, sadness, and overwhelm. Now we're getting back to the tip. The pursuit of external power seems natural, and the reality that it creates problems for the personality is pushed to the background of awareness. In other words, you know about authentic power, you've been practicing it, maybe you've been practicing a lot. When that happens, distorted pleasures of anger or sadness or overwhelm remain pegged, so to speak, to the foreground of your awareness. In other words, when you're angry, that's what's in your awareness, and you feel righteous, and it feels good to put somebody in their place and to really get things the way you want them to be. In fact, these parts of the personality refuse to hear reasons why their experiences are not healthy in any way. When you're angry, you don't want to hear that. A frightened part of your personality doesn't. And when an overwhelmed part of your personality is present, it doesn't want somebody saying, "Are you in a frightened part of your personality?" It wants you to be quiet so it can continue to do the things on its task list, because it's already overwhelmed. It's going to stay overwhelmed. Often, angry parts of the personality, for example, become irritated or enraged at suggestions that they be challenged. Has that ever happened to you? Happened when somebody suggested it to you? Eventually, the personality will challenge these parts. But this can require a long time. could require a long time, even for individuals who've been graced with multisensory perception and understanding of authentic power. In other words, it could take a long time, even for you, to realize that when a frightened part of your personality is active, that it's up to you to do something about it. You can become angry at the spiritual partner that suggests that you may have a frightened part of your personality active. Or if you're by yourself, you can indulge it more and more and more, but eventually realize that you need to do something about it or stay in this pain indefinitely, like you've done for most of your life. Also know that cultivating a loving part of your personality when it is active creates authentic power too. It's not just challenging fear, it's cultivating love. You create authentic power by recognizing the pleasing sensations near emotional energy processing centers that accompany the experiences of love, such as patience, caring, gratitude, and appreciation, and consciously acting on them. Here's the thing. You can benchmark loving parts of your personality by reminding yourself when they become active that these wonderful experiences are not just transient chance states. They're well-defined parts of your personality. In this case, loving parts. In other words, loving parts of your personality sometimes also become active without your awareness. Or if you are aware of them, you do not honor them for the remarkable gifts that they are. These experiences slip away like a dream. In this case, you squander an opportunity to create authentic power just as surely as you squander one by not challenging a frightened part of your personality when it's active. All of these cases, fear narrows your creativity. That is, when you're not cultivating a frightened part of your personality and you're not challenging... When you're not cultivating a loving part of your personality and you're not challenging a frightened part. Fear has its adverse effects. That's an understatement. It flows. Your creativity flows, yes, but it flows into the creations of fear. For example, you feel like you don't have enough and you need money to fill the holes in your life. You need to manipulate a mate or a friend to fill the emptiness in your life. Or you need to obstruct a project you fear, such as mountaintop mining, industrial logging, or damming rivers. You may feel creativity, but it is flowing at partial throttle because it's directed toward adversaries, not in support of life. Mm-hmm. In all cases, fear decreases or destroys your curiosity. So it narrows your creativity. Your creativity doesn't flow joyfully, joyously, unimpeded. And fear decreases or destroys your curiosity. Mm. It moves your attention away from the miracles of life. The colors of flowers, their fragrances, the sounds of birds, the industry of animals, and the places that all have in the awesome unfolding of oceans, meadows, mountains, and people on this ineffably beautiful planet. Opposite is also true. Love increases your curiosity, and love expands your creativity. Do not seek to linger in the scent of your beloved's hair. I do. The touch of her fingers or his fingers. The sound of your pet's joyful bark. The laughter of your child. With love, these things become endlessly interesting. With fear, they can become annoyances or even painful. Doesn't your imagination love to create delights for your beloveds, to soften their journey with your ingenuity? These are places where our tip will help you out a lot. And here's the tip again. From this moment onward, move through your life proactively and consciously, acting from loving parts of your personality. Actually, that's the first time we've mentioned the tip. So here it is. From from this moment onward, move through your life proactively. Proactively. That means you begin it. You don't wait for it to happen. You don't wait for someone to remind you. You don't wait for the pain to bring you down. Proactively and consciously act from loving parts of your personality. What happens when you do that? If a loving part of your personality is not active, you will be challenging a frightened part of your personality that is active, not aware of it. Follow that? If you're proactively and consciously, moment by moment, acting from loving parts of your personality, and if it turns out that a loving part of your personality is not active, that means a frightened part of your personality is, and you will be challenging that part, even if you're not aware of it. Even if jealousy, for example, is distorting your words, you'll be challenging that jealous part of your personality. And if
by acting from a loving part.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And if a loving part of your personality is active, we'll cultivate it, and your life will become more loving. Pardon me. Here comes a cough. Now, of course, you can always become aware when loving and frightened parts of your personality are active in you by becoming aware of the physical sensations near your energy processing centers. This you've learned how to do. We're going to help you do it more and more. We're going to give you more practice and more practice. We're going to show you opportunities to do it. We're going to allow you to become very proficient and to support one another and become very proficient. In other words, this means using emotional awareness. You can also do this in retrospect, so to speak. This means when you orient yourself to meet life moment by moment with loving parts of your personality, you will automatically bring different parts of your personality into your awareness. Into your awareness, they're already there. And the physical sensations you discover then will tell you whether they are loving or frightened parts of your personality. That's really an exploration. When you're always looking for ways to act from loving parts of your personality, there will be fewer gaps in your awareness of which parts of your personality are active. Eventually, there will be no gaps in your awareness. When you're always looking for ways to act with love, you will always be looking for ways to bring love into your life.
Mm-hmm.
We could give the same tip to someone who doesn't know about authentic power, and it would help them, but they don't have the tools to actually implement it. You do. You know about emotional awareness. You know about responsible choice. You know about consulting intuition. You know about the authentic power guidelines. You know where they are. They're on the Seat of the Soul website. Hopefully they're on your refrigerator or they're sitting by your phone right now. So you can apply this tip and get a lot out of it. That's what we mean when we say it supercharges you. Love is a characteristic of an authentically powerful personality. Others are humbleness, clarity, and forgiveness. But love is the big one. Experiment with ways to bring love into your life. That means proactively and consciously acting from loving parts of your personality. Moment by moment, consciously and proactively, direct the curiosity and creativity of the loving parts of your personality into your life. Creating authentic power is meant to be joyful.
Indeed, that's beautiful, beloved. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I was thinking, I had an example of someone I met recently that I felt...
Yeah, I just want to say now, if any of you who have been listening, and I hope that's all of you, will write down any questions that came to you, because we're going to do this very soon. We're going to go straight into Q&A, your questions and answers. So if it stimulated an insight in you, or if you have a question about what Linda and I have shared, write it down so that in a few minutes you can ask us.
In fact, you can start using the tip right now by proactively and consciously acting and speaking from loving parts by participating in this call, by raising your hand with either something, an insight that you have because of what we've been saying, or an insight you've had about authentic power, or a question that this has brought up for you.
And participating in it with your presence, not just coasting along, listening to what's happening on the phone. Not just considering some things that can be helpful to you, but bringing the force of your being into this moment. This moment, it's not for us, it's for you. It's your life. The force of my being is already here. Yours here with me? How much of your awareness are you giving to your life in this moment? That's a good indicator of how much force of your awareness you're putting into your life in other moments.
For instance, how many things are you doing while you're listening to this call? Are you really here? Are you really present? Are you really with all of us? Or are you doing other things? Are you on your computer or texting or doing other things? Have your phone on mute so you're not really here, but you're on the call but not really on the call. So just notice. Notice if you are really, really proactively and consciously acting and speaking and creating from loving parts of your personality.
Exactly. So if you were on the call but weren't really on the call, and you just realized that, then you can see how much this tip will help you. Because here was a part of yourself that was being complacent about your life, not engaged in it, not appreciating the miracle of it moment by moment, and you didn't know it. So, by proactively and consciously acting from loving parts of your personality, you can step out of that.
Out of that frightened part of your personality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And into your life, no matter what you're feeling.
Indeed, indeed. So as you think about things, I want you to press 1 on your keypad if you want to proactively and consciously participate with us on this call in whatever way that you want to do it, whether it's a question that you have or an insight that you're having. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad now if it's something that you want to do right now. But I want to tell you a story while you're pressing buttons on your keypad, your number 1 button. In fact, let's just take a little, I just want to get a sense of things with people. I just want to know, was this tip that we gave you today, was this supportive to you? Do you feel like you're going to be using it in your life? If you feel that, then press 2 on your keypad. I want to see how many people are, actively engaged in what we're saying here. Press 2 if it's something that really resonated with you and you know you can use this in your life and it'll support you. I like seeing all these 2s popping up on my, I can see. This is lovely.
Almost everybody has raised your hand. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, this is especially interesting. Write down why you didn't raise your hand. Write down why you think this tip might not be helpful to you. So we can talk about that and others can learn from your experiences.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now again, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand by pressing 1 if you want to share something on the call. We'll call on you if we see your hand up, which means you pressed your hand. Press 1 on your keypad, and we see a hand raised by your name. So go ahead and do that, and then we'll be calling on you soon. But I just wanted to tell you something about someone we met recently. We met a man, and he was introduced to us from a dear friend of ours, and it was such an interesting experience we had, and I think he's a really good example of someone who is proactively and consciously creating with loving parts of his personality. It feels that way to me. So he and his wife had their first child about 5 years ago, and the child was diagnosed with autism, somewhere on the spectrum of autism. And it was very interesting what happened. While when the child was diagnosed, our friend decided to do as much as possible research as he could to find out about this diagnosis that they call autism, or on the spectrum of autism. He really wanted to know as much as he could about it, so he looked for to find. He was very curious and wanted to find out who were the people that would know the most about this. So he started finding out and finding out what could be of support. So he really engaged his creativity and his curiosity to find out all these things. And then, after a while, he decided that he wanted to do something that would support his son as he was growing up. And one of the things he noticed about people who had autistic people and their families were the autistic person, even though they were an adult, usually they weren't working. Usually they weren't productive, we would call productive members of society. And he noticed that, and he thought, why couldn't they be? What is the deal? We need to find ways to engage the families and the person on the spectrum and see how we could support them. So he has a job where he was able to hire people, and for a very huge company. And so he decided that he was going to hire people on the spectrum and see what would happen. And he said the first issue, of course, was that someone on the autistic spectrum, oftentimes they're not able to, they don't have good social skills or good communication skills. So he realized that he needed to interview them in a different way. So he hired 5 people on the spectrum, and he found a way to have them feel really productive and really engaged and really supported. And they had a buddy, each had a buddy that wasn't on the spectrum. And it was such a big success. These people that he hired on the spectrum were so excited about what they were doing. And the people that were their buddies were really excited about being able to support them in the ways that they could. And so he brought this to the attention to his employer, which have many thousands, actually hundreds of thousands of people that they employ throughout the world. So it's an international company. And so he also talked about this because he was so excited and so engaged, excited about what had happened from hiring these people, that he realized that he wanted to tell everyone about this, because his mission is to have as many people on the spectrum of autism be employed as possible on the planet when they get to the age when it's time for them to do that. And so his company, this huge company, has said that they will hire 1% of the people that they hire will be on the autism spectrum, and they promise that they're going to do that. So that was his first major company that has decided to do that. And beloved, it's just so incredible what he's doing, isn't it, beloved?
It is absolutely incredible. And the universe has clearly worked behind him because with the experience of his son, who's about 5 now and is not functional, is not a functional autistic boy.
He's a low-functioning autistic child.
Very low-functioning. Can't speak, can't communicate, or doesn't want to. And what our friend did, whose name is Feroz, by the way, he's Indian, and he saw that sometimes autistic people have skills that are superior to non-autistic people. They're very analytical, and his company employs a lot of engineers. And so he did research, and in the research he discovered that by putting these people in a certain environment, they could be better engineers than non-autistic individuals. For example, they have to be in a quiet space of their own. They can't be in a cubicle in a large room. They get distracted and fragmented. They have to be able to focus on a project. They're not multitaskers. And they have to have someone they can communicate with, because they have no social skills. They can't communicate in ways that we do. So he assigned a non-autistic person with each autistic, of 5 autistic people. He had new hiring processes because they can't be hired by an HR department. They can't communicate.
Right.
And he found out that they were better engineers, better software engineers, some of the shares that they have. And he presented these findings at a large conference, a very large conference. His company, by the way, is called SAP. It's a German company. It operates in the background quite a bit, but it's one of the largest software companies in the world. And he was a rising, brilliant young star in this company. And he brought his research, was invited to bring his research to give a five-minute talk at a World Economic Conference in Davos, Switzerland last year. At 5 minutes, he presented what he presented. He wanted to let people know what he discovered. And at the end of it, it so happened that the CEO of his company was in the audience. They came up to him and said, "We do this." "Yes, we're doing it." And that's when the CEO of SAP said, "Well, then in the next year, we're going to employ 1% of our workforce from the autistic spectrum. Out of 75,000 people, that's about 750 people."
Yeah.
That means that 750 people are going to have jobs now that didn't before, but it's more than that. A lot of people need jobs. These people have had life-changing experiences. For example, their parents tell him, "What is happening with our daughter, with our son? When he comes, when Saturday morning comes, he gets up and gets ready to go to work, and I have to tell him, 'You can't go to work today.' He'll say, 'But why not? I want to go to work. I want to go to work.'" They have passion. They have reason for being alive.
They have reason for being alive.
For having a life. They want to use it.
Oh, yes.
They want to use their creativity. Passionate about it. Their parents are awed and ecstatic.
So you can see why we had the feeling that this was a really good example of engaging creativity and cultivating curiosity, because certainly Feroz has been doing that.
And you can see that how the universe moved to back this. Because Feroz told us, corporations exist to make money. If something doesn't make money for them, they're not interested. But by his research, he showed that he could produce more productive employees from the autistic spectrum in certain areas like software engineering than non-autistic employees could be, and that's what made it okay for SAP to move forward on this, and it's been a windfall for them. No matter where SAP...
For SAP, right.
Yeah, no matter where that company is mentioned now, it's mentioned in association with autism and the, quote, good work they're doing. Got a PR windfall because of that. So where is it that you could start to change your life dramatically? And I don't mean in the way that this young person in the corporate world changed his part of the corporate world, but your life dramatically, by consciously and proactively acting from loving parts of your personality. His motive in this was to support his son, and then it expanded from there into supporting all autistic people.
Yeah, to actually be giving his gift that he didn't even know that he had to give.
Exactly.
So beautiful. So I think it's just a beautiful example of engaging creativity and cultivating curiosity.
Yeah, the son hasn't yet benefited from this SAP program. He's only 5. But perhaps he will someday, and perhaps he'll benefit from some of the other many corporations that will have similar programs based on what Feroz has created.
Mm-hmm.
Or what he will create in the future. What will you create in the future?
Exactly.